You're listening to Faith and Family on Worldwide KFUO. I'm your host, Andy Bates. You know, when you ask for a guest, we try to bring those guests back. When we ask for a repeat guest yesterday, you asked for to hear the rest of Deaconess Ellie Coro's story, and so we brought her back on Faith and Family and got to hear the rest of that. And today, a guest that came on almost 2 months ago, and you asked that she come back on, and so it's going to be fun hearing the perspective of college life today from Caitlin Jandereski. She was a guest here on Faith and Family not too long ago, and looking forward to catching up with her this year, taking a look at the past year of college life for her, preparing for her senior year now at Central Michigan University. We're going to talk with Caitlin here in just a moment. Thanks to our underwriter, Concordia University, Wisconsin, for supporting Faith and Family. You can find out more about Concordia University, Wisconsin on our KFUO website, kfuo.org, and look for the sponsor section. There you can find information about our sponsors, including Concordia University, Wisconsin, underwriter of Faith and Family. Drop them a note. Say thanks for supporting Faith and Family on Worldwide KFUO. Well, Caitlin Jandereski, she's a student at Central Michigan University, just finished up junior year, getting ready for senior year, and big plans ahead as well. Caitlin, welcome back to Faith and Family.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Good to have you with us today. You're a busy person. You work in a number of places. You help people. You take care of people. You write all the time. After you were on last time, we had phone calls and emails, messages on Facebook, people saying, have Caitlin on again. So apparently you've got quite the following, too.
Oh, people are just very nice. It's all part of the mercy work.
Now, you're a blogger, too, aren't you? Do you blog?
Yeah, I do. I have a blog. It's called Our Salvation to Telestai, which is Greek for it is finished.
Well, very good. Apparently, lots of folks enjoy your writing, and understandably so, and loved hearing you here on Faith and Family. I enjoyed our conversation. I'm looking forward to talking today. Last time we talked, you were studying at Central Michigan University. If I remember correctly, you're studying family studies. If I remember correctly, there was communication somewhere in there, if that's right. And I know you're thinking about deaconess studies down the road as well. Is that right?
Yeah, you know, if nothing's holding me back, I do plan to attend seminary. But right now my major is family studies, and I have minors in journalism and communications.
So you're studying in family studies, learning about families and relationships, and also communication and journalism, learning how to communicate and broadcast or to write about all these subjects as well. And soon enough, you'll get to study theology as well, put it all together. It's kind of a nice mix. Communications and family and ministry, theology, putting it all together. It's, well... And sometimes you end up hosting a program called Faith and Family when you do that.
You never know. Weirder things have happened.
Well, let's talk about college life. Just finished up junior year and now starting on senior year, getting ready for senior year. What are you doing this summer? Taking a break from school?
Yeah, that's the main focus right now. I'm also working at Camp Concordia in Goland, Michigan.
Oh, wow. Well, how exciting. Uh-huh. What are you doing there? Are you serving as a counselor?
Yeah, and I have no idea exactly what I'm doing. I've never worked at a camp before, never been to a camp before, so it's a total learning experience for me.
And when does that start? Are you already working and you just kind of snuck away to talk on the phone today?
Nope, it starts next week, actually.
Uh-huh. Well,
so
how fun.
I have a week to get ready for it.
Well, it sounds like you've got a fun summer. You've never worked at a summer camp before?
No, I never have. I've always heard people that go to summer camps and I'll have all this fun stuff, but I usually spent most of my summers back in my hometown of Bad Axe working odd jobs here and there.
Well, you're in for a treat. I met my bride at a Lutheran camp. We met at Camp Luther Haven in Albion, Indiana. Great place. Lots of fine folks there. And summers are just outstanding. They have a lot of stuff throughout the year as well. And I know Camp Concordia does some amazing stuff as well. Had a chance to talk with them not too long ago here on Faith and Family. And so exciting stuff coming up this summer there. I'm sure you'll learn a lot.
I hope so.
And you just never know who you'll meet at camp during the summer. You never know. You might even meet a future spouse there.
Oh, yeah, just like you. What's fair?
Well, what did you learn in college this year? What did you learn as a student? Anything you think you'll carry with you for a long time?
Oh, that's a good question. No, just kidding. No, this year was a whirlwind of fun and craziness. I stayed home my first semester and commuted to college, so I wasn't living on campus, and that was very different for me. And then second semester, I got a resident assistant position, so I got to adjust in life as an RA and kind of look at it from a different perspective than I had before.
That's kind of a big change, going from a commuter to an RA all in the same year.
Yeah, it was kind of a cultural shock, because when you go into college, at least after having a year or so under your belt, you go in and you know it's a pretty liberal campus, and you know that people are going to question all your beliefs you've ever had growing up. And then you stay home for a whole semester and you go back, and you're like, wait a second. Now people are questioning me all over again. I'm not ready for this. You almost feel at first.
Felt like you were starting over again, huh?
Yeah, almost. But I adjusted pretty quickly to it. You kind of have to just get back up on the horse and ride it. But
let's talk about that. Some of the challenges that college students face today, some of the things that are challenging, but yet at the same time, some of the advantages that you think college students have today. What are some of the challenges that you and other confessing Christians face as college students today?
One thing that jumps out in my mind, that I don't know how many other people have been in this situation, but I did my field work at Central Michigan Pregnancy Services, which is a pro-life pregnancy center. There, I was a peer counselor, and I faced a lot of young women, most of them my age, that were considering abortion and really thought that was the only way out. And to me, that was a big shocker, because it's not a topic people talk about when they go to class or go to work, say, oh, you know, I just had an abortion yesterday, or thinking about having an abortion. It's something that's really kept on the DL, and people don't talk about it ever. So one of my biggest changes this semester was realizing that that's still a thing going on in the pro-life community that the LCMS is working to form so largely. It's still very needed, and it's not something that should be forgotten.
Mm-hmm. Right. As we're all going about our daily routines and sometimes the mundane things, at the very same time, not too far across town, there is a woman who is making a decision and facing fears and facing pressures from others around her, and really deciding the fate or life or death of a child.
Mm-hmm.
What a difficult position to be in to begin with. But are they truly being equipped with the facts and the truth? Secondly, are they being given or provided the support that they need to make a healthy and faithful choice?
Right. Well, that is the main question and concern. And it's sort of hard to reach out to someone if you don't know where to go or what to do. And thankfully, I got to see the other peer counselors and even have myself placed in a situation where we were able to give the ladies that came to our pregnancy center back about abortion, and not just, wishy-washy facts that, just come out of thin air or anything, but actual facts that we realize that have gone on throughout ladies that have had abortions, such as medical issues, psychological issues, and even ladies that used to or still have a religion stuff that kind of haunts them with that. And I believe our pregnancy center does a good, resource, is a good resource to giving those type of facts. And I also know my campus ministry and my pastor there is also very willing to talk to anyone thinking about an abortion. But that's a lot of things people don't think about is, oh, where can I go when I'm thinking about this? Because they almost feel like a church or a pregnancy center is last resort.
That was my question. What's the attitude on campus? Are students offered any resources, especially during new student orientation or through campus life or student life? Are they offered any information on life affirming resources, or are they pretty much so pointed to organizations like that aren't necessarily life affirming, such as Planned Parenthood or other organizations?
Right. And personally, I've never been in a situation where I had to make a decision like this, especially at such a young age. And that's usually when orientation happens, is when you get all your resources as a freshman. So that was quite a few years ago for me. But I personally don't remember anyone handing me any pamphlets or even as an RA having to talk about any of those type of issues. It's really something that's kept on the DL. And I guess one thing that's more negative about a college campus is there are a lot of protests that go on the campus and in the community where people do talk about, you know, it's my body, I can do what I want with it. So it is kind of pushing for you make your decision and don't worry about it because it's your decision and that should be good enough.
So there really isn't, especially, or at least from campus life or from the university, there's at least not a prominent presence of resources or connections to resources for the students that are life affirming. You mentioned campus ministries. Do the campus ministries offer any resources or support for, especially for women who find themselves in those circumstances?
I can only personally speak for my campus ministry, which is Christ the King Lutheran Chapel, and it's right on campus in Mount Pleasant. And there we do have brochures, and we do have a trained deaconess and a pastor, and we just got a new pastor, too, from Fort Wayne that I'm sure would be willing. They're definitely studied their theology, know their facts, and know why we believe what we believe. And would be willing to talk to anybody that would want to. However, it's just a matter of are people, going to go there and seek it out for themselves.
Sure, it's kind of a tough spot. You can have open doors and willing hearts ready to serve, but if they don't make it in the doors, will they ever know that those resources are there?
Right, and that's when you just keep everybody. That is going through this, whether you know them or not, in your prayers, and you know God will guide them.
Well, thanks be to God that campus ministry is there, providing that support for students, bringing the truth of God's word and God's blessings. What a blessing to have a new campus pastor serving with you and a deaconess serving you there as well. That's certainly something to celebrate.
Yeah, it's pretty cool, actually. The deaconess is my pastor, my current campus pastor's wife, and she works a lot with international student ministry, and she works on teaching English to new students or just students that don't know English very well at Central Michigan. And she does a great job at it, and she loves it. And I just got to meet our new campus pastor this past week. Pastor-elect Eula Dahlin, and he seems like a great guy, and his wife seems like a great lady, and I think they'll be fit in very well here.
Well, very good. Thanks be to God for that, and looking forward to, I'm sure, a new academic year coming up with students on campus and opportunities to proclaim Christ crucified there at CMU.
Very true.
Let's talk about the classroom as a college student today. I'd love to hear your perspective on this. What it's like being a student in the classroom at a public university. When it comes to academic freedom, how do you think your professors view academic freedom? How might they, how do they teach in the classroom, and how do they handle circumstances and student interaction in the classroom or your writing and things like that? How do they handle that? What do you think their views on academic freedom are today?
Well, in the classroom and just on campus, they really do push for, everyone should be accepted, every voice should be heard, and every diversity should we should be welcoming them in. I don't mean to sound like the old curmudgeon here, but I feel like that's true. Central does a really good job at that with everything but Christianity. And I feel like when you're a Christian on campus, it's really hard to feel like your voice is heard and feel like you're accepted. Just because you grow up all 18 years of your life and, you go to church on Sunday, you're taught that, the universe was created in 6 days, and you submit to a higher being, and you believe marriage is between a man and a woman. And you come to this college campus, and everybody wants to have a different opinion about that, and everybody wants to tell you that you're wrong. And I notice that a lot in the classrooms, too. And I say this in the best way possible because I do love my classes and my professors. But as a Christian, I know it is a little harder to have your voice heard.
Do you, when it comes to academic freedom, do you feel that when you write a paper for a class, that your worldview, if your worldview comes through in what you're writing, that that perhaps your professors are more or less critical of you because of your Christian worldview?
I feel like it's hard to have my worldview in a paper. I did take a class called World Religions 2 semesters ago, and I don't know what in my mind thought that'd be a good idea to take at a secular university, but I did it anyways. And we had learned about all the different religions and had to write a paper, I think just on something diverse, and it could have been on anything but Christianity. Were in the guidelines, as they said, you could talk about anything except Christianity. And I'd email my professor and I said, Christianity is the religion I've studied the most. Why is it not acceptable to write about that? And he had replied back that Christianity is the most known religion on the campus and everybody's a Christian. And to me, that was kind of contradictory to what I've experienced on campus when I feel like being a Christian is a big minority. Now when I'm writing papers, so I don't really get to impose my views on what I think how Christianity should be. I have to come for it more from a scientific perspective, you must say. More, you have to use the facts and not God's word, but the facts from what research has shown over the past.
You mentioned taking a world religions class, and I did that too. I took a comparative religion class at a public institution. Fortunately, the professor I had, the instructor I had, was sympathetic toward Christians. But I could see, do you think that by taking that class, it at least gave you a perspective of what these other worldviews are that are held by students of different religions, different confessions on campus, so that you understand and you're able to listen and engage in conversation at least with them?
Yeah, I think it makes you very open-minded, and you really get to see where other people come from, because my whole life, I grew up in a very small town, and, I've always went to the Lutheran church. We didn't really have any other religion going on in the thumb of Michigan besides Christianity. And then you come to a public university, and you see a diverse number of religions. And it really helped you as a Christian that I feel as strong as in my beliefs. It really helped you kind of reaffirm what you believe,
mm-hmm.
just by really seeing that Christianity is really separated from all other religions, because we believe in grace alone, faith alone, word alone, and we don't rely on our works to get us any place else. And you do see, though, that most other religions, well, all other religions, do really rely on that, and you learn that a lot in the class.
Were there any other religions in the your world religions class that that offered some other means to eternal life other than works, other than works or something that's earned by the individual? Were there any other religions that that eternal life was granted by someone else's sacrifice, by a savior, redeemer, or granted by means of by payment or atonement from someone else,
like predestination?
Well, just, you know, you had mentioned that a lot of the other religions, or all the other religions, involved some sort of works in order to gain anything.
Mm-hmm.
There really are no other religions in the world. There is no other religion that where eternal life, salvation comes by grace, by something given freely, with no expectation, that can't be earned. There's no expectation that, that you have to earn this, this salvation.
Right. Yeah. I truly believe Christianity was the only one that really talked about grace and talked about that's how those Christians believe they're getting to heaven, and that's how they believe they're accepted by their God, is by receiving faith and receiving his gift. Now other religions, there's different ways of going about it. Some, you know, did on meditation, clearing your mind, being your own God, submitting to another God and working towards him to get to heaven. But it all really boiled down to work. And it was almost kind of crazy how you could boil it down to two categories, and it made me do some reading with my campus pastor, and I believe it was Francis Pieper that said there were really only two religions, and Christianity and then anything else where you have your works to get to heaven.
And
so that's something we kind of discussed.
And can you ever really, how do you know if you've done enough work to get to eternal life? How do you know if you've in those other religions, how do you know if you've ever done enough? How do you know if you satisfied the law?
Right. And here I am just trying to keep my day-to-day routine straight. And, you know, I'm just grateful for faith alone by grace alone, so I don't have to worry about any of the extra baggage of getting to heaven.
So Christianity is the only religion, as you pointed out, the true religion of grace, salvation by grace through faith in Jesus Christ.
It really is. Thanks be to God.
Amen. Well, I'm glad that you have a campus pastor there to help you through, help you study, and the willingness to help you when you have questions about classes like that. Thanks be to God for that.
Uh-huh.
We need to take a quick break. When we come back, I want to talk about your studies in families, your family studies major, and talk about what you've been learning in that program. I'm sure that's interesting as well. We're talking with Caitlin Jandreski. She's a student at Central Michigan University, discussing college student life today. You're listening to Faith and Family on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.
Hi. Hi, I'm Joni Harwell. Worldwide KFUO is listener-supported, and you, the listener, are our funding providers. One of the best ways to help is by becoming a day sponsor. Pick an available date to mark a special event, or simply to thank our Lord for his many blessings. You'll find details at KFUO.org. Then click on Support Us, or call Mary Schmidt, 314-996-1518. Help spread the gospel. Become a worldwide KFUO day sponsor.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, president of Life Issues Institute.
Here's a story to warm your heart. Zheng Qi is a student at a high school in China, but he has muscular dystrophy and can't get around on his own. So his classmate, Zai Zhu, has been carrying him to and from school and from class to class. So at least 12 times a day for 200 days each year, Zai has bent his legs. The unique arrangement has been going on for 3 years. China is a country where respect for human life is in short supply. Unborn babies with disabilities are routinely aborted. The school deputy headmaster said Zai's example has had a positive effect on the other students who reached out to make sure that Zheng is cared for. The fact this story has gone viral makes it an effective lesson around the world that all human life is precious.
Check out Life Issues on Facebook and stay more informed than you've ever been.
You've discovered Worldwide KFUO, a radio station where you can find the clear biblical understanding of Christianity proclaimed daily in both word and song. Our talk programs can be heard live or on demand at your convenience anytime worldwide. The KFUO talk programs proclaim the true Word of God, focused on salvation through Christ and Scripture alone. You've discovered KFUO.org, the messenger of good news.
Hi, I'm Mark Hawkinson with an invitation for you to join me over the weekday noon hour for Moments of Assurance, your lunchtime spiritual recipe. You'll enjoy encouraging scriptures, a bit of Bible history and trivia, news items, humor, the kids' corner, and more, all mixed in with faith-strengthening sacred music, a blend just right for your midday hour. So join me, won't you? That's Moments of Assurance over the weekday noontime hour here on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.
Worldwide KFUO is easy to find on AM 850 in St. Louis and online at KFUO.org. Through our contacts page online, you can ask us questions, and there is good old snail mail, too. Our street address is KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. The worldwide leader of confessional Lutheranism. Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news for more than 90 years.
Hi, I'm Joni Harwell. Worldwide KFUO is listener-supported, and you, the listener, are our funding providers. One of the best ways to help is by becoming a day sponsor. Pick an available date to mark a special event, or simply to thank our Lord for his many blessings. You'll find details at KFUO.org. Then click on Support Us, or call Mary Schmidt, 314-996-1518. Help spread the gospel. Become a worldwide KFUO day sponsor.
It's okay if you miss a program on Worldwide KFUO because you can download them as a podcast at your convenience. There are so many programs at Worldwide KFUO that are centered on the gospel of Jesus Christ. Don't miss one of them. You can download one or all at KFUO.org or subscribe on iTunes. That's KFUO.org, the messenger of good news.
You're listening to Faith and Family, a Worldwide KFUO. We're talking with student Caitlin Jandereski, a student at Central Michigan University, taking a little pause for the cause this summer, actually taking a break from college during the summer and going to work at Camp Concordia in Michigan, and but getting ready for senior year at Central Michigan University. And what a joy hearing about your junior year and the witness that you are there, and the faithful campus ministry and support you have from your campus pastor and campus deaconess there to help you through your your college years. Caitlin, before we went to break, we were talking about academic freedom and religious freedom and the worldview, you know, being a student on campus there. How is your worldview regarded, especially in the classroom? Let's take that to your major, studying family studies at CMU. And tell us about what is this major of family studies? What does that entail?
Right. The way I like to describe it to a lot of people, because not many people have heard of it, it's just become kind of a new thing. It's a lot like family life, which it's a tie between psychology, sociology, and social work. A lot of people tend to venture into those fields in their master work or working in a human services department or any nonprofit human services department after their bachelor's degree. So it's really focused on the family and how you can, it's a lot of research work-based, but it also is a lot of hands-on, what can you do to make this family's life better, understand where they're coming from, and give them the right resources.
Now, will this program prepare you as a certified family life educator?
Yes.
So you have
will have that in, after I get my bachelor's degree.
So you have that CFLE certification from the NCFR, National Council on Family Relations, if I remember correctly.
Yep, I think I'm signed up for the class to qualify for me for that for this coming semester.
What, as you have embarked on this study and this major, what has been, what did you hope you would gain from it so far?
I've always been very interested in the human mind and how it works. And I think I've always been very passionate about families and where they come from and their different backgrounds and how they get to be where they are. So going into it, I was really hoping to gain a better understanding, I guess just to put it in plain terms, on how to help families and make their lives better and know that, you know, certain ways out, the bad ways, aren't their only route they can take. And I certainly think I've learned that because my professors and the students in my field have been great in helping aid me to get to that knowledge level.
What are some of the classes you've taken in this field that so far?
So far, we take a lot of, I guess, old people classes. We take a lot of gerontology classes. So we get to go help work at the nursing homes and sit with nursing home residents. We take a lot of child classes, which those are super fun because you get to hang out with children for the whole class period of time. So it's not really like you're working at all. And there's a lot of marriage therapy, readings and marital counseling, and dating relationship classes. I think those three are probably the biggest focus.
And what are some of the things you've learned in these classes? What are there, when it comes to marriage and relationships, what are some of the misconceptions when it comes to marriage and relationships, and what have you learned in these classes?
One thing that I learned that is almost kind of funny, one of the girls in my major with me, she is also a Christian, and we were talking about how we kind of feel like the outside world really believes in cohabitation and living, you know, living together before marriage, and how else are you going to know if your spouse is the right one if you haven't at least tested the waters first? And theology aside, which it's not always the best to put theology aside, but in this case, if you want to provide scientific facts, 50% of couples that live together before marriage do not end up having a lasting marriage. And one of the things we talked about in our class was, because you always have that mentality to back out of a dating relationship if it's not working out in the household you guys are sharing together. However, when you get to a marriage, it's a sign, you know, it's a legal document, you signed it. It's a union before Christ, if you want to throw that theology in there. And but your mind doesn't always change to that way, and it still thinks you can back out. So theology aside, cohabitation still loses. And that's a big misconception I think a lot of people have.
The question is, and I've heard the similar statistics that marriages that began with cohabitation before marriage generally don't fare well. The question is it a result of the cohabitation, or is it just is it cause or effect? Is it a result of the cohabitation that those relationships, those marriages end, or is it those who don't have a high regard for marriage to begin with are more likely to cohabitate before marriage? And so therefore, it's not necessarily because they cohabitated, but simply because they didn't have a high regard for marriage before that they were willing to cohabitate beforehand. And then they had that same limited level of commitment in marriage as well.
Right. And, that's a good question, Andy. And I think it kind of both ties together, and both of them can be a cause and effect of the thing, of a failed marriage, I should say. Something my home pastor always says to me is, why would you want to live together before marriage? You're getting all the benefits pretty much of marriage, just without the wedding and the ring. So basically the guy's getting everything, and the girl doesn't get her wedding, and she doesn't get all of, the joy that, most girls dream up of everything, because you're still getting the benefits of marriage without actually timing out or making a commitment. So I feel like you're not holding a high regard to marriage because you're saying, oh, I can back out of it anytime, or it might not work, but that's just life these days. People get divorced, and that's just, the way of the world. And, those Christians always say marriage is a, marriage is a sacred and holy thing, but what do they know about? Their lives are all, perfect and fabulous and whatnot, but you just have to go back to God's word and see what that says. And a hymn that's coming to mind to me right now is Stricken, Smitten, and Afflicted, where I think one of the lines they had talked about, we see sin very lightly and we don't see sin as that big of a deal. And then, but yet Jesus took upon our sins. He made our sins a big deal, and he died for them and buried them. And so, if Jesus is saying it's a big deal, and living together before marriage is probably a big deal then.
So marriage, learning about marriage from this worldly or secular worldview, I'm sure can mm-hmm. present its challenges. Fortunately, you've had this opportunity, the support of your church. How important is it to have this nurture and education that you gain from the church when walking into the classroom on campus to learn about these things, to learn about family life, to learn about marriage, to learn about relationships? How valuable is that to you when you walk into the classroom, or when you're studying, when you're writing a paper for these classes?
Having my relationship with my campus pastor and my home pastor and my pastor friends around the world are everything, because it is college is awesome, and college is something that I feel like a lot of people should experience and everyone can benefit from. And you get to stay up late, you get to do a lot of fun things with your friends that you never have done before. You're allowed to color outside the lines. However, college is also terrible in the sense where people are always questioning you and telling you what to believe. And so having those relationships with your home pastor, especially if you don't have a campus pastor, or having a campus pastor or just pastor friends around the world are everything, because you can go into your studies and learn from your professors who know a whole bunch, but then you can also question them and say, hey, is this what we as Lutherans really believe? Is this something that makes sense to us? And you can ask them, and they'll give you a straight answer.
what do you, when you finish this program and you perhaps have this, or even the few courses that are needed for the certification, how do you think your worldview will shape you as a certified family life educator and one who perhaps supports and helps other families? How do you think that will shape your work, should you choose to work in a field where you support families, whether it's in social work or some other setting where you're supporting families and family life? How do you think that will shape your interaction with those you serve?
I think my major has provided a lot of understanding that I didn't know beforehand. Coming from a pretty well-off family, I've always had, you know, a mom that would read to me at night and a dad that would go work and provide food for us. And we would go to church on Sundays, and that was just what we did. That was, you know, our thing. And now kind of researching and looking into a lot of broken families that don't have a lot of dads at home, don't have a lot of moms that care, don't have a church family as a support, as a backbone for you, you realize that a lot of choices, a lot of bad choices that people go down aren't because that they're bad people per se. It's more because they don't know another way. They're very uneducated. And they think that a lot of the bad roads are the roads that are meant for them. And I think that's where my major has stepped in. And it does tie into theology because it's hard to live my life without theology involved in it. And it is that we as family life workers and human service workers step in as the body of Christ and care for our other members that are in the body of Christ as they are hurting. And so I think it really has provided a lot of sympathy for me and a lot of understanding for me as I look at other families.
How do you think your approach to family life might be different from some of your classmates who don't share that same worldview? Do you think there will be some differences in how you approach your work versus how they approach their work as someone in, you know, serving in family life, whether it's social work or another setting?
Oh, yeah. I've gotten, entering my senior year now, I've gotten to the point where I'm not really shied away anymore from sharing my religion and my worldview with my classmates. And they know that I'm the Christian girl in the class. And that's just kind of how I operate. I had offers to work at abortion centers, and I refused, just because that's not something that ties into what I believe. However, there are girls in our major that will work in abortion centers, and there are people that are going to do stuff that I don't agree with. And I think that almost goes for any major in college, is there's going to be different routes you can take, but first and foremost, you're a Christian, and then you're a family studies worker or a biologist or a teacher. And you have to hold your Christian faith as God will protect you more than man.
Mm. Anything else about your family studies major or the classes you've been taking that you think or that you want to share about today?
Not that I can think of off the top of my head as much as I can think right now, but no, college is a hard road, kids, sometimes, and, you know, hold your ground, have your pastor's phone number on speed dial, and call him every chance you can, and have that support, and you will be just fine.
Do many students face, when it comes to student debt, which is always a concern for students, especially for our church work students, student debt is becoming an increasing concern. You know, I grew up in a generation where we were told from early on, from the very early days of our childhood, that you must have a college education, you must have a bachelor's degree, and then later on, you must have a master's degree in order to have a decent job so you can make make a living for yourself. You must do this. There are no other options, basically, was how it was right. communicated to us. And you've probably grown up with that in your generation as well, that you have to have a college degree if you want to do anything. If you want to make anything of yourself, then you have to have a college degree. And now what we're finding in the last 10 years or so, especially last 6-7 years, we found students who grew up with this perspective that they have to have a college degree. They've gone on not only for a bachelor's degree, but straight into a master's degree as well. And then graduating from college, graduating from grad school, and not being able to find jobs that require that level of education. If they do find a job at all, it's most likely that they're finding jobs that don't require that level of education and thus may not necessarily pay the bills when it comes to paying off student loans that students have taken out to get that master's degree, that bachelor's and master's degree. And so we have kind of this this conundrum with students who are stuck with this student debt and not necessarily getting the jobs to pay off that student debt. Some still staying at home with mom and dad, well into their what we would consider their single adult years and maybe early married life, because they have this student debt, because they were told all along you have to have a bachelor's degree or a master's degree. And now they're just facing the student debt while trying to figure out whether, what job can I get? And they're working as a barista and three other jobs in order to try to pay the bills. Is this something that you and other students are facing, is this fear of student debt and maybe not necessarily employability?
That is a major concern for a lot of people. Personally, with my experience, I have come to a conclusion that if family studies were to fail me now and not work out and never have a job opportunity, there have been a lot of things I've been involved in on campus, such as volunteering at the pregnancy center, such as, helping my church out and working with them and just doing other volunteer work and being very active in my residence hall, that there are other paths you can go down where if you were really hurting, you could find something to make work so that you have a job secured for you. And you do have to be realistic and look at your major and see, the percentages of people that get jobs at post-college. But, if you're very passionate about your career and you work very hard to make opportunities happen, then I believe at least Central Michigan does a very good job at placing students post-graduation. And student debt is a big deal. And I probably sound like a broken record here, but there are a lot of grants and loans that have helped me and scholarships that have helped me get through college and pay for it. And I'm sure if they're going to help me, they can help anybody else. And of course, just to keep praying that God will provide a way, and the church body really does care for you and will provide for you. And it is a scary thing, but it can be done. And it's hard to just kind of say this through an interview, but it's because it's a lot of work to, you really have to sit through and be careful with your money and maybe not go out to Arby's every night with your friends when they're going or to go buy something or go to the bar down the street. And sometimes you have to be very careful at planning your money.
Do you think that
our ways,
you think that's characteristic of your generation, that they're more thrifty, more budget conscious than previous generations, or is there little regard, you think? Is that a common characteristic, you think, of your generation, your classmates?
I think it all depends on where you come from, what your background is, and how your parents raised you. our family, both my parents are very hard workers that never did have a college education. And so they were always, you know, kind of weary, like, are you going to be able to afford college all, you know, 4 years or however long it takes you? Are you going to be able to provide your way? So I was always very cautious and had a job all throughout high school and saved up my money and applied for as many scholarships as I could. And I do know other people where their parents are able to pay for their college education and get them through it all. So sometimes you see those kids as ones that are more fearless spenders. And I really think it depends where you come from.
So as we would say in the field of family studies, it all depends on your family of origin.
Right. There we go.
So it has a lot to do with your parents' views and attitudes toward money and financial matters. That really can shape your worldview and your view on money and financial matters as well. So
I think so, yes.
Well, so it's not necessarily specifically a generational characteristic. Good to know. What's your advice to those students who are looking forward to college this coming year? Maybe that freshman who's starting in the fall, starting at a public institution, a public college, or even going to a Christian school. What is your advice with just about 2 minutes left? Okay. How can they prepare this summer for college life? What do they need to know?
Well, first, take a deep breath. You're going to be fine. And, you know, just have fun with it. Whatever road God takes you down, you will be blessed. And I'm not joking when I said have your pastor's number on speed dial and be able to call him and make sure you are going to church regularly. And in regards to academics, you know, go to your classes, keep in touch with your professors, get involved in your hall, and you'll be just fine. And I think you'll really enjoy it.
Why is it important to continue attending worship regularly? Why is it important to continue to participate in the divine service, to hear God's word?
Oh, the third commandment. But really, being in union with your fellow Christians, you're reminded of your faith and what's been given to you on the cross, and you're reminded that your sins were buried. And you're free in Christ, and no matter what happens to you, no matter if you fail a class or you get an A, you're still with Christ, and that's going to be your ultimate resolve, the ending to everything. You still win, no matter how hard life is, and you're still reminded of your Savior and what He has done for you.
I think the motto for LCMSU is really, it says it well. College is tough. You need Jesus will help.
Yes.
And that's really it. I mean, at a time in your life when your worldview is going to be challenged, when your whole lifestyle is going to be turned upside down, when everything is going to be changed and you're going to be challenged, don't cut yourself off from the body of Christ. By all means, stay connected to the body of Christ by attending divine service, hearing God's word, receiving the body and blood of Jesus, and having that support, confessing your sins and receiving forgiveness of sins straight from God through the mouth of your pastor. Don't cut yourself off from that. You need all those things so that you need God's word, his grace and mercy to support you through the challenges of life as a college student, your vocation as a college student. You need that support. So by all means, stay connected to that body of Christ. Don't cut yourself off from it by not attending divine service and Bible study and things like that.
Yes, you said that perfectly.
Well, thanks for putting it in my mind. Caitlin, it's great to talk with you, and I hope that we can continue our conversations in the future. You're doing a great job. Keep up the great work. God's blessings on your work at Camp Concordia this summer. I know you're going to have a great time.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for being our guest today. Caitlin Jandereski, a student at Central Michigan University. Hopefully we can have her back in the future, and we'll try to get you connected to her blog as well. Our program was recorded today. It'll go in our archives under Faith and Family on KFUO.org. You're listening to Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.
Listen to Faith and Family Monday through Friday at this time. Faith and Family is a listener-supported program.
Your financial support is needed for Faith and Family to continue. Our address is 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can contact us on the web and download Faith and Family at KFUO.org. Worldwide KFUO, on the air, online, and on demand.